Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mary's song, a song of praise, a song of trust as this young girl embraces what God has laid out for her. And her song this morning is often referred to as the Magnificat, Latin for "My soul magnifies the Lord." And scholars draw parallels between Mary's song and the song of Hannah, who also sang to God in praise of her becoming pregnant with Samuel after years of being unable to have a child. "My heart rejoices in the Lord," sings Hannah. "My soul magnifies the Lord," sings Mary. And Hannah's song echoes back to Miriam's song before her, who sings after the Israelites cross the Red Sea. Miriam's song gives Hannah's song its basic pattern, declaring God's triumph, defying the hierarchies of the world. And Hannah then sings a variation on Miriam's song, and years later, Mary sings in need to express the action of God that will change her life and the life of the world. So three women, all with songs to sing, different circumstances, but eternally connected through their songs in praise of God. And each song contains a kind of dance between what has been and what will be. It's also how we think about Christ's second coming, which is a predominant theme at Advent. Jesus is both already here and will come again. The already and the not yet. And the already and the not yet is given to us through this Greek tense of verbs that we don't use in the English language. And the ancient Greek used a tense called the aorist. And in Mary's song, she brings us what is both past and future tense. It's the already and the not yet. And because we don't have those verbs in our language, it's hard to wrap our heads around this concept of the already and the not yet. And yet this is what we do every year at Advent and during Lent. Christ is both here already and Christ is coming. The kingdom is both here already and coming. A baby in any woman's womb is both here and coming. And when I was pregnant and after we had Morgan, there was perhaps no greater joy than sharing him with my mother and with the other women in my family. I can remember looking forward to our visits more than any others as I waited eagerly to share this baby specifically with other women. And if you want to watch a room full of intelligent adults fall silent with joy, just place a baby in the center of the living room rug. The interdependence that we share with other human beings in all stages of our lives is something that we so often take for granted. I'm just not sure that our joys could flourish and expand without our God-given ability to share in our joys with others. We were just not designed to experience joy in a vacuum, but instead in the company of others, in relationship. And Mary doesn't sing alone in the company of Gabriel, but she travels to see Elizabeth. And then the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps, and that's when Mary breaks out into song. And Mary sings in the company of the ones that she knew she could trust would share in her God-given joy. In other words, she knew they would get it. We all do that when we have news to share. Whether it's joyful news or sorrowful news, we ask ourselves, who's going to get it before we share the experience? And I was really reminded of this last Sunday, which still is such a joy all week long, the concert that we had last Sunday. And I was singing Bing Crosby's Counting Your Blessings. And I looked over in the back corner. She makes me cry even now. I looked over in the back corner of my girlfriend of 23 years, and smile, and she was smiling and she was singing along because she knows the lyrics. And tears came to my eyes because of all the memories of the last 23 years. It just came flooding back in, the good times, the times that we took turns crying and laughing on the phone to one another because we trusted that the other would get it, whatever it was. In the Book of Joy, the one that I recommended you all read this season, I just know you all went out and bought it. At the end of the book, there's a chapter titled Celebration, Dancing in the Streets of Tibet. And the chapter opens with these heart-wrenching stories of children who were separated from their families as they fled oppression to live in the Tibetan children's village in India, where they could receive an education. And they become parented by teachers and administrators who embrace their roles as surrogates. And the children, in anticipation of the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Tutu, they had been studying how to find joy and happiness in the face of adversity. Children as young as 5 who had traveled for weeks with family members or strangers over snow-covered mountains of Tibet, the same dangerous journey that the Dalai Lama had taken a century before. And often these children would never see their families again until they were adults, if ever. And the chapter goes on to describe children sharing their stories with the Dalai Lama, but they're unable to do so without tears. And some are just not able to finish their stories, and others are able to speak through the tears. And there's circumstances that we don't get. We can't get it. Because we've never had to sleep in the day so as to sneak past soldiers at night or hide in the dark hungry and in pain without our mommies and daddies. But instead, these children trust in the stranger who bring them to a new and unfamiliar place that they will eventually call home. Now in the chapter, eventually, these almost 2,000 children, in honor of their guests, begin to sing a song of their own. And they start a Tibetan version of If You're Happy and You Know It. Children from 5 to 18, and then later in the ceremony, they sing We Are the World. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start living. And the Archbishop begins to dance, and then encourages the Dalai Lama to join him. Now, as a Tibetan Buddhist monk, the Dalai Lama's vows prohibit his dancing, but that day, he got up to dance for the very first time in his life. And eventually, the two took each other's hands as they celebrated the joy of their unbreakable connection to one another. And behind them, as they danced, were 2 Tibetan endless knots, and those are symbols for the impermanence and the interdependence of all life, and the union of wisdom and compassion. Mary's song holds within it the connection of interdependence with Elizabeth and Hannah and Miriam before her. And while Mary's song may not be our personal story of motherhood, her story of trust in God is a song for all of us. Mary's song is a vision of the already and the not yet. Isaiah's whole second, what we call second Isaiah, is a vision of the already and the not yet. And Mary sings, He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has done that already and not yet. God has filled the hungry with good things, she sings, and sent the rich away empty. This morning, as we imagine the singing of this song, we're also asked to dance into it and to dance with it and to sing along as the ones who get it. While we don't know the suffering of living under an oppressive regime, we do know compassion. We know what it means to suffer with. And we are called upon by God to dance with, to sing along with all of those who are waiting on God to bring them home, to security, to sanctuary, to health, to wholeness, and to peace. And Mary sings for all of those who long and all of those who cannot sing for themselves because they have no voice in this world. And maybe there's some of you who are sitting in this sanctuary this morning who feel as though you have no voice or your voice has been hushed because of pain or grief, things that have passed, or things that are, or things that are not yet. We're called to sing along and to trust that God will show up because God is already here. God is beyond our understanding, and God is as intimate as our own breath. This is Advent. This is an entire season built on the already of Jesus and the not yet of Christmas Day. And on that day, once again, will come the reminder of the intimacy that is God, connecting us to God and to one another through the incarnation of that baby. Our God is a God of relationship, of intimacy that comes in a dance of body against body and hand in hand, while one leads and the other follows, and one follows and the other leads, and at times it's not clear who's leading and who's following, and before you know it, you've entered into this divine flow of love, which has no leader, but is mutual and interdependent. And finally, I want to close with a reading from the Acts of John. I want to be saved, and I want to save. Amen. I want to be set free, and I want to free. Amen. I want to be born, and I want to give birth. Amen. I want to hear, and I want to be heard. Sweetness dances. I want to pipe. All of you, dance. Amen. I want to make you beautiful, and I want to be beautiful. Amen. I want to join with you, and I want to be joined. Amen. I have no houses, and I have houses. Amen. I have no ground, and I have ground. Amen. I have no temple, and I have temples. Amen. If you look at me, I will be a lamp. Amen. If you see me, I will be a mirror. Amen. If you knock on me, I will be a door. Amen. If you are a traveler, I will be a road. This is my dance. Answer me with dancing. This is Mary's song. Won't you sing along? Amen.